The book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And we do trust again that God will grant his blessing to the reading of his precious word. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, is probably one of the highest truths that there is in the whole of the Word of God. And it's something that each of us really should take a look at and see if we can emulate what's in this lovely chapter. If you go back to verse 14, you'll see how that the Apostle Paul, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now that prize, that high calling, he's been touching it in the verses that have gone before. It is that we might be so like Christ, this side of heaven, that we'll never, ever sin again. And Paul was looking for a life that was just like the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God saved you for, of course, if you are saved. I hope you're saved tonight, and I hope you all know the Lord Jesus. But for those that are saved, it's those that I've got in view, the reason why God put his hand upon you was that you might be like his son, the Lord Jesus. But Paul says, I'm not going to wait until the rapture for that. Paul says, I want that now, here and now, in this life of mine. And he looks at it as a prize that God has got. And he sees himself as if he's in the race. And this is the great prize that's going to be won at the end of the race. And says Paul, I'm pressing towards the mark. I can see the end. I can see the tape before me. And I'm pressing toward it. And I'm letting nothing stop me from getting to it. I just want to be like Christ, this side of heaven. Now I tell you, that's a great goal. That's godliness. And that's what God wants in your life. It's what God wants in mine. And I believe here that we've got what is the highest truth in the whole of our New Testament. That we might be so like Christ, this side of heaven, that we will never, ever sin again. I don't know whether your failings trouble you or not. They used to trouble me an awful lot. And I suppose we should realize what our failings are. But the Apostle Paul, as he knew what he was, he thought there is a glorious goal. And that goal, it can cause me to be what I ought to be. And the goal is, this side of heaven, to be like Christ. But you know, the apostle realizes it was an impossible goal. And he tells us in the verses before it, not that I've apprehended. I've not grasped hold of this. It's not something I've attained to yet. It's not something I've got. I know it's what God wants, and I know that's why God put his hand upon me to save me. That's what you've got in verse 12. And I've not really reached it yet. But says Paul, I'm going to make this my ambition, and I'm going to keep pressing on toward that mark, that I might be like Christ, this side of heaven. He would tell you, too, that you ought to have the same ambitions. That's verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, he says, be thus minded. Let every true child of God have the same ambition, just to be like the Lord Jesus, this side of heaven. But the apostle realizes that that goal will never be reached whilst he's in the body. You see, the trouble is, though some of you fellows might look handsome, and some of you ladies do look beautiful, not surprised at that, of course, you were made of good stuff. I was made out of the dust of the earth. You came from a rib, you know, you had a better start than me. And I'm not surprised you're as beautiful as you are. But nevertheless, the trouble is with your body, isn't it? It's just your body. And it's all the desires and the things that come out of it that sadly cause failure here. Well, the apostle, in these verses that we've read from verse 20 onwards, he's thinking of a glorious day that's going to dawn. He does think, first of all, there are four things here, very simply. He thinks, number one, of our habitation. Look at verse 20 in the opening verse, words. It says, our conversation. Now that word is really our politics. And it's the word from which we get our word for politics. And he tells us where our politics are. Some have simply called it our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. That child of God is where you belong to. You don't belong to earth. You once belonged to earth before you were saved. And the book of Ephesians tells us how that we walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And this world is a whole pathway that has been mapped out by the devil for his children, the children of disobedience. But you've trusted Christ. You're now seen to be a child of obedience. And says the Bible, your place of living is not here. Your citizenship is in heaven. Now Paul is writing to the Philippians. And the Philippians would have understood what he meant by it. For you see, the Philippians were a little Roman colony. And a Roman colony, very simply, was a little city, a little colony, that built all its life as if it was a replica of Rome. And that's what they were. At Philippi, they were a little replica of Rome. All its laws, all its ideas, the whole character of the life of the city was based on what went on in Rome. Now, says Paul, you've got saved. And you're not a colony of Rome, you're a colony of heaven. And your life and your laws, your language, everything should be in anticipation of the fact of where you belong. For you belong to heaven. You don't belong to earth. That's your habitation now, since God saved you. One time you were a colony of Rome, but now you're a little colony of heaven. And that's what you are today. God has placed in this world a little colony that represents heaven, whose all their thoughts, their language, their laws, all come out of heaven. Now, a Roman colony, it didn't only base its whole life and its character upon the city that it was a colony of, but it also anticipated at any time and was living in preparation at any time for the coming of the great Caesar. They knew that any time they could have a visit from the monarch, they could have a visit from the Saviour. So here we discover in verse 20 not only our habitation, when he tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. It's not where we're going, it's what's ours now. And what we are now. We are a little colony of heaven here in the world. But if that's our habitation, we've also got an expectation. And the expectation, very simply, is just as the folks at Philippi would have been anticipating, prepared for, and ready for, and the whole city are always living in the light of the fact that any time the emperor might come, says the apostle, we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of looking there is to look with anticipation. So as they were looking and anticipating that at some time there might come the great colony, there might come the great entourage of the emperor as he's coming towards them, says Paul, you live in the expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus. For he's coming. You belong to him. You're representing him here now. Your citizenship is not earth. Your citizenship is heaven. And you're a little colony of heaven here in this world. and your expectation is that the Lord's coming. I hope you expect that, you know. When I got saved as a laddie of 16, I was quite sure the Lord could come that day. In fact, when I went out of the house, it was a Saturday morning. I used to deliver newspapers. I don't know if they do that in this land or not. But to earn a few shillings, you used to go and deliver newspapers round the doors. And though I worked for my living, I wanted to earn a little bit more, you know, I was greedy. And I was going out to deliver newspapers because I didn't work on a Saturday morning. But when I came down and got myself ready to go out of the back door of the house, I remember as I lifted the latch up, what if the Lord comes? And as I went out and looked up, it was a March day and there'd be a crisp frost about and the sky was open. And I looked up towards heaven and I thought, what if the Lord comes? And I thought, if the Lord comes, I'm damned. I wasn't saved. I wasn't quite 16. My parents weren't saved. My brothers and sisters weren't saved. But as far as I was concerned, I knew that I should be saved. I actually picked up my bicycle to ride to the shop where I picked the papers up. And suddenly the same thing said, Norman, what if the Lord comes? And I thought, I've got to get saved. And I went back inside the house and I got down by a little kitchen chair. And I asked the Lord to do the work that he came into the world to do, to save a sinner like me. And thank God, before I got off my knees, I knew I was saved. Knew it. Do you know why I got saved? I thought the Lord could come that day. I never forget, as I went out to the back door again and lifted the latch up, the same thing came running back into my mind. Norman, what if the Lord comes? And I went outside. And I looked up, but I tell you, there was a smile now, and there was joy in my heart. If the Lord comes, I'm going home to the glory. I'd only been saved seconds, but it didn't matter. I was as saved then as I am now. And that's what, oh dear, 53 years ago, when I trusted Christ. And I was as saved then as I am now. But can I tell you something? I'm still expecting the Lord to come. I'm nearly at the 70 years, you know. My son's waiting for his inheritance. Don't hang on too long, Daddy. But I hope he never gets it. Because he's coming with me too. An expectation. Oh, live for God here. And remember that you're a citizenship of heaven, but look for the Saviour. That's the expectation. Now, will you notice, please, there's not only a habitation, an expectation, but there's going to be a transformation. For when the Lord Jesus comes, says the apostle, he's going to deal with that very thing that stops me being like Christ this side of heaven. I've got a goal. I want to be like the Lord Jesus. I'm going to press on toward that mark. There's nothing going to stop me. It's the ambition of my life. But I know something that's going to stop me. And it's this vile body. That's what he calls it here. By the way, if any of you have got a Newbery translation, and if you haven't, go and buy one. They're pretty good. I think that lady down at the bookstore might have them. But Newbery puts it like this. He says, who shall change our body of humiliation? For it's really not a vile body, is it? You might do vile acts with it that God hates, but the body's not vile. God created it. You might do things with it that are vile, and God will judge you for it. But there's nothing vile about your body. It's a body of humiliation. It's been marked by sin, it's marked by the fall. But thank God, there's a transformation coming. And when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to change this body of humiliation. Do you know what he's going to do with it? Says the Bible, he's going to fashion it like unto his body of glory. That glorious body is a body of glory. The body that the Lord Jesus had. By the way, the body that he got when he came into this world. A sinless body. A deathless body. And there's coming a day when your body is going to be changed at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, he's not going to change it for another one. Don't worry, you've got that body for eternity if you're saved. Oh, you've got that body for eternity if you're not saved. For bodies are for eternity. That's what resurrection's all about. And it's not only believers that are raised, you know. Unbelievers one day will be raised too. And whereas I'm going to have a body like unto the body of his glory, you'll have a body if you're not saved that will be in the lake of fire. And you'll just carry the body that you've got with you. You'll be as you are in the lake of fire, body and soul. For the lake of fire is for bodies as well as souls, you know. And your body's for eternity. I hope you're saved. You get right with God. And look to your body. For as you are now is how you'll be for eternity. But thank God for the Christian. The body of humiliation is going to be changed. Now it's not going to be changed for another one. It's what he's going to change it into. And he's going to change that body of yours into a body that's just like the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my body's getting old. You can see that, of course, I don't have to tell you. I don't feel old. I still only feel 21. And when you get old, you'll feel the same as me. I still only feel young, but I'm not young, I'm old. In fact, my 70 years are nearly up. And I trust the grace of God will keep me till I get a letter from the Queen that tells me I'm 100, but the Lord might come in the meantime. But let me just say today, the one day this body's going to be changed. I'm going to get my hair back again. I won't need my glasses. And that earring aid that my wife keeps telling me I need, I don't need it at all. I'm just learned what not to listen to, let me tell you. You get a bit of sense when you get older. But all these failings, the heart attack, the diabetes, the diverticulitis, what's this thing at the back here they call it, the Pagets. And if there's anyone here, you know, you'd wonder about the poor old body breaking up. Pagets, diverticulitis, diabetes, heart attacks. Ah, thank God there's going to be a change. It's a body of humiliation now, marked by weakness. But there's coming a day when my blessed Lord comes, and what he's going to do is deal with that which stops me being like Christ this side of heaven. And in that day, I'll be just like his son. You see the power that it's going to take? There's a demonstration in this verse, the habitation, you're a citizen of heaven. The expectation, you're waiting for the Lord to come. The transformation, he's going to change that body of yours. And the demonstration, the mighty power of God, when he says it's going to be according to his working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things. And it will take that mighty power whereby God can subdue all things to subdue this and make it what God wants it to be. Thank God the day will dawn when we shall be what we should be. The things which are not now nor could be then shall be our own. But in the meantime, you remember you're a citizen of heaven. You remember that the Lord's coming. Press on to the mark. Live for God, live for Christ. For it may not be long before the Lord is here. Just one day at a time for the Lord's coming.